You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education podcast. We're at the University of London's Senate House, just off Russell Square. My name is Chris Parr and I'm joined by Professor Miao Mint, who is Burma's Deputy Minister of Education. Nice to meet you, Professor Miao Mint.
Well, nice to meet you too.
I'm also joined by Kevin McKenzie, Burma Country Director for the British Council.
Hello.
Hello, nice to meet you. And my colleague John Morgan, Deputy News Editor and Asia Reporter at the Times Higher Education.
Hello.
Hello. Higher education in Burma has faced many challenges in recent years, which is perhaps unsurprising given the changes that have occurred within the country itself. From the late 80s and throughout the 1990s, universities faced a series of closures imposed by the then military government. A new civilian government is now looking to rejuvenate a sector that has suffered from years of underinvestment and unrest. Professor Miao Mint, why are you here in the UK and how does that fit in with your work in Burma?
Let me explain about the reforms that are taking place in my country. You will know that our country held multi-party general elections in November 2010. And then after that, the new government led by President U Thein Sein took office in March 2011. And since he took office, he's been carrying out wide-ranging reforms, which includes reforms in the education sector. And, well, part of the reforms meant that we also are looking at the legislature connected with higher education. So in November 2012, the laws related to higher education was discussed at the parliament, at the Myanmar parliament. And then the parliament decided to form actually three committees. The first committee was related to the National Education Act. Well, right at the moment, we don't have a National Education Act. We have laws relating to other subsectors of education. So, and the second committee they formed was related to the higher education law. And this law was being revised to sort of fit in with the new environment, with the new governing system, with the new political system. And the third committee that was formed was related to the revival of Yangon University. You might know that it's the oldest university in Myanmar. It was established in 1920, but its roots go back to the 1880s, where we had two colleges affiliated to Calcutta University. So these two colleges were merged in 1920 to form Yangon University. And the committee wanted to focus on the revival of Yangon University to reinvigorate it as the oldest university in Myanmar. So that is sort of a brief description regarding the legislature point of view. And let me also give you a brief description of higher education in Myanmar, because our system might be different from what you have here or from other countries. So we have 168 universities, degree colleges, and colleges. But the uniqueness about it is not all the universities are run by the Ministry of Higher Education. Ministry of Education. There are 12 ministries involved in managing education, higher education. So there are 68 universities and degree colleges and colleges under my ministry, another 61 under the Ministry of Science and Technology, 15 under the Ministry of Health, and so on and so forth. So our universities tend to be very specialized. For instance, our universities, the universities under the Ministry of Education, they focus on arts and science. Some of our universities focus on economics. Some focus on providing foreign language skills, and some focus on teacher training, and some focus on distance education. So those are the focal areas for the Ministry of Education. So with institutions, let's say under the Ministry of Science and Technology, they focus on technology and on computer science, on IT. And of course, those under the Ministry of Health would focus on institutions related to health, like the institutes of medicine. So we are sort of very specialized regarding our universities. It's not comprehensive like yours. Mm-hmm. So it's, well, I'm not going to the background about it's going, it'll take a long time. Anyway, so that is one of the reasons why there needs to be a certain amount of coordination, because they all come under different ministries, but at the same time they're all education providers. So our governance system is quite different from yours, in the sense that, well, from what we have learned from the universities here, they are autonomous institutions, and of course they there's a funding council that takes care of the funding. While with our universities, the funding is directly provided by the ministries concerned. So when the funding is provided, it's not given in the form of a lump sum, you know. It's more or less like a department where they are sort of given a certain amount as capital and certain amount as current, and then, you know, it's all very, very specific about how you spend the money. Well, I think with your universities, once they get the funding, you know, they have the autonomy to spend it in the way that they see fit. And of course, you know, they use the money they generate. While with us, the income that is generated by the universities as fees, of course, the fees are very small. It's 500 jats, that's less than a dollar per month. And of all these revenues, of course, have to be, you know, given back to the government. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are differences, some slight, some big ones. So that is sort of the background of our universities. And then, again, with faculty appointment, it's also very different. The faculty are appointed by the ministries concerned. Well, of course, here the system is the faculty is recruited by the institutions concerned. And we have this matriculation examination, and our students enter marks depending on how much they got in the matriculation examination, because depending on the institution, some of them require very high marks, like the medical institutes. They will be top. And of course, there'll be a lot of students wanting to enter the, you know, the medical universities. And the next at one time was the University of Foreign Language, just of which I used to be the rector. So it was very popular. And of course, the popularity, of course, depended on job opportunities. So if you are good with foreign languages, you know, it's slightly easier to get jobs. And the third would be the institutes of and universities of technology under the Ministry of Science and Technology. So the way you enter the university is very much on which university you enter is very much dependent on the marks you get in the matriculation examination.
Questions? So you, Chris, you touched on the difficult past that Burma's universities have had, including several years of closures. Does that mean there's a big rebuilding process to go through? What condition are Burma's universities in at the moment?
I heard that you said something about the universities being closed for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yeah.
I think they were closed for around about 2 years only.
2 years.
Yes.
We heard in Yangon specifically that the university was closed for 10 years out of 12.
No. Because as I said to you earlier, all the universities are public universities, so they more or less open at the same time. Before 1988, we had 32 institutions, and after 1988, the number, as I said, gradually increased to 168. And so after 1988, actually what happened was there was more establishment of institutions all over the country. Because at that time, the focus was on creating equity so that students could receive higher education in their own areas. So at the same time, of course, it meant that they didn't converge in one institution alone, because now they had the possibility of receiving education close to home. But of course, one thing was that for some time, you know, our linkages with the outside higher education system was mostly with the ASEAN region. I must say that our curriculum needs a lot of updating. Now that our economic system has changed, now we have the investment in our country will rise. So there'll be a lot of job opportunities, and there will be a creation of a lot of different kinds of jobs that, compared to, let's say, 10 years ago, where, again, because of the stagnation of the economy, you know, there were just a few options regarding the jobs that graduates could pursue. So in that sense, we will need to improve our curricula to provide them with job-related skills. And another thing is, of course, you will have, I'm sure, figures of the expenditure on education, but it has dramatically increased. 2012-13, the percentage of expenditure rose to by about 107% compared to 2011-2012. And then for 2013-2014, again, it rose by 37% compared to the previous year.
Do you have a figure for how much is spent on higher education specifically?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Have I understood it right that the higher education law process is being led by the opposition and Aung San Suu Kyi is involved?
Well, education is a very, how shall I say, bipartisan matter. And the whole parliament is very much interested in the development of education, the whole population, the ministry is concerned.
So, would the government accept whatever comes out of the process that creates the higher education law?
Well, the Ministry of Education and the line ministries, I said there were 12 ministries involved in education, And together with the parliamentarians, we are cooperating to revise the law. So it's not just the parliament alone or not just the ministries alone. Of course, the initiation came from the ministries because we submitted the draft. And of course, the parliament, they wanted to make the law more in line with current needs of the country. So we are working together. So it's not just one party or just one ministry, but the whole parliament is interested. All the stakeholders are interested. And now I can say very clearly that we have a free press. Now we have newspapers being established. If I'm right, it's more than 10 now. New university, become obsessed with university. New newspapers are being registered. So, and then we have what are known as journals printed by the public sector. And all these are quite vocal. They are quite frank with their opinions. And this includes the expression of the views on education.
Vince, what's the time scale that you're looking at for both the Education Act and then following that, the higher education specific act?
The Ministry of Education is only just one of the stakeholders in this matter. So it's now in the hands of the Parliament. There are committees now. So it's very much dependent on the amount of work we have to do, because we want to come with a very viable law.
Can I ask you a bit more about the private university law that's planned? Is part of that a plan for foreign universities to come in and run campuses, maybe British universities? Could they be part of the process of raising quality?
Private universities law is still in a very rough stage. But our aim is to enable the private sector to participate, just as in the basic education sector. So, I don't think I can discuss how broad the participation will be, whether it will be just limited to the private sector in Myanmar or it will open up. But of course, we very strongly believe that we need to collaborate with international universities, that we are inviting collaborations. And there are a number of universities from the US and from our region, Japan, Thailand, Korea. We've started initiating collaboration. Another of our aims is to establish centers of excellence. So we think that will not only assist the institution concerned to develop its quality, but also share the experience and knowledge with similar institutions in the country. So again, with establishment of COE, with that area, I think we really need assistance from international institutions. So we have negotiated with an American university, Johns Hopkins, to establish a Center of Excellence for Social Studies. And I think about a month ago, we had 10 universities from the US coming in a group and giving training in research methodology to our faculty. So there's been initiations such as like that. And then, for instance, it's not just Yangon University, but also, the interesting universities that are all also establishing linkages, like Mandalay University with Mount Pelier too, Pathein University in the Yaoundé region, again with Mount Pelier. Then the Tagore University has signed an MOU with Kolkata University. So actually there are lots of institutions that are interested in, you know, signing MOUs and, you know, working together, either in research or developing the capacity of our faculty.
And as this process to raise standards continues, do you think it's the strategy to have the government do all the funding, or might sort of students' fees be part of the funding? Could students' fees go up, or will it stay at the same level?
Right at the moment, we are not thinking of, certainly not thinking of raising the student fees. And in spite of not raising, as I pointed out to you earlier, we've managed, you know, the economy has improved. So, you know, we've managed to raise the expenditures by over 100% in the 2012-13. And, well, I think it's also very much dependent on the Ministry of Finance and Revenue. Depends on very, very much on how much revenue they can generate. So far, you know, we are very happy to note that the parliamentarians are interested in providing more funds to the education sector, and of course, the government is also doing it. So far, there hasn't been any discussion about raising funds through raising the student fees.
And you mentioned the changes that society is going through, including the, you know, creation of the birth of private newspapers and, and more freedom coming into society. Do you see the changes to universities as part of that? Might they be part of the growth of a freer society, as academics have a bit more freedom to discuss ideas?
Let me give you an example. Right now, we are carrying out a project known as the Education, the CESR, Comprehensive Education Sector Survey. And it's being done in three stages. The first one is a rapid assessment. The second one is the in-depth study. And the third one is coming up with a costed plan. And we are doing it with the assistance of our development partners, which consists of the UN agencies, UNESCO, UNICEF, and the World Bank, the ADB, and then we have our multi-donor fund for education, and which involves EU, differed from the UK, and the British Council, of course, we can't leave it out. It involves about 12 organizations. And what I'm trying to point out is that we have finished the first stage, the rapid assessment. And instead of just saying that we have completed the report and put it on the shelf, you know, we are discussing it with, you know, the what we call the thematic groups. You know, we've chosen six areas, and after I go back, there'll be two consultation meetings with the stakeholders in two areas in Myanmar, in Yangon and in Mandalay. So those are two major cities in two major regions, Upper and Lower Myanmar. So. It's all very open, and the research has been done in a very systematic way, because we have our development partners, you know, I forgot to mention that Norway and Denmark are also involved. So we have a lot of international consultants, and in that sense, our researchers are very systematic, and our findings are evidence-based, and we are not keeping the results to ourselves. You know, as I pointed out, it's going to be presented to the stakeholders, which includes NGOs, even parents, teachers, university, administrators, members of the parliament, and of course there will be discussion. So after the discussion with the thematic groups, we received their opinion and we shared the data with them. So in that sense, we are now very transparent. And what I would like you to notice that now, you know, our system is, you know, not just doing things by ourselves, but through consultations and discussions.
How are you ensuring that you get feedback and information mm-hmm. from, you say, parents and potential mm-hmm. students? How do you ensure you get that feedback from sort of, you know, the full range of people within Myanmar? How are you collecting that information?
With the first stage, of course, it was a rapid survey, right? So with the next stage, we are going to take about 1 year. And of course, with that, there'll be part of the research will consist of surveys, you know, doing field studies, meeting people. Mm-hmm. So we have chosen 12 areas for that.
Kevin, I wondered how you saw things from a British Council perspective. Are there a lot of potential opportunities for British universities in linking with Burmese institutions?
Absolutely, there are. It's a very exciting time, as you can imagine. British Council has been in Burma since independence, 1948. And it's really in the last couple of years that we've started to expand our relationship with government as well as with people. We've traditionally worked over the last however many years with non-governmental organisations, community-based organisations, and with people themselves. Now our relationship with government is growing, as evidenced by the work that we're doing with the Ministry in Education Reform. And so it's a very exciting time for us to be there. And I think the fact that we have been there for so long and been such a trusted partner for so long has put us in a good position to act on behalf of the UK in its engagement with the Myanmar government. So we are, part of the discussions that we've been having on this trip have been with the higher education institutions and how they see the advantages to internationalisation and to working with the emerging universities over there. And I think that it's clear that they do see advantages. There are not just economic advantages, which I think are perhaps further down the line, but in terms of initial relationship building, the universities are keen to form relationships with Yangon and the other universities. In the areas of research, joint degrees, dual degree programs, and so on. And we're there to facilitate that. So our role, I suppose, is to deliver in-country ourselves. We're now working with teachers in the public education system. We're providing teacher training in collaboration with the ministry, in fact, directly with Dr. Myomin's National Centre for English Language. We're providing support for policy reform through our advice to the Parliamentary Committee and through providing opportunities for senior contacts to engage in international dialogue. But we also act, as I say, as a kind of a facilitator for the wider UK higher education sector. We hosted a visit in January from the Universities UK International Unit, and there were some, I think, 12 or 13 universities that visited in that delegation. And our role was very much to make introductions and to try and facilitate support. And we're now, I think, at a stage of following those up and seeing what concrete proposals are coming through.
And if you were quite selling Burma to British universities, would part of the story be that there's a big potential for economic growth that's there?
It would be. I think that from the UK side, I think it would be wise to not see see it as an immediate kind of financial opportunity, let's say, but to build those relationships, to start to build those relationships. I think this is where other countries are perhaps, you know, being slightly smarter. They're spotting the opportunity to start to build relationships with the sector in the higher education sector and the ministry more generally. And I think that in doing that, opportunities will come sort of further down the line. It's difficult to sort of overstate just how the situation in Myanmar is quite underdeveloped, let's say. There are few, there are no international banking facilities at the moment. There are no international telecoms networks at the moment. Foreign investment is being invited now, but the investors, I think, are still weighing up their options. So it's at an early stage, and I think that the higher education sector would do well to consider that position and to start to build relationships now, rather than seeing it as a purely economic opportunity.
Are there any UK universities that have interest that have shown particular willingness, or that you think are a bit further down the line in terms of interaction with Myanmar than others? Are there any sort of flagship institutions that have agreements in place already?
Well, it's no coincidence that we're sitting here in the University of London, who have shown, I think, the most interest at this stage in forming collaboration. They've already visited and identified the areas that they would like to work in, and we are talking to them now about joint degree programs, the possibility of joint degree programs. And so they're also supporting this visit that we have facilitated. And so, they are the main one. There are other universities that have expressed interest in other areas. But I would say the University of London is the most has the most concrete proposals so far.
Okay. Are there any points that we haven't mentioned that you wanted to raise at all?
let me say that education as a whole played and will play a very important role in the development of Myanmar. And we have, expressed very strongly that, we are very much interested in strengthening democracy in the country. And, of course, higher education, especially higher education, will play a very important role in broadening people's, providing experience in democracy. And, let me also add that we are also very much interested in developing the political awareness of our students at the university. So we teach political science together with international relations. But in the long run, we wish to strengthen our program on political science. So through that, we think that we'll be able to create more awareness of democracy. It's very important because President Thein Sein has also expressed the need to prepare the younger generation, for the time then when they become future leaders of the country. So it's not just economic development, but also developing the minds and the intellectual levels of our people.
So Kevin McKenzie, Burma Country Director for the British Council, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
And Professor Miao Mint, Burma's Deputy Minister for Education, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for interviewing me and allowing me to explain to you a bit about the Myanmar education system and also the reforms that we are undertaking. And I hope that through this interview, there'll be a greater understanding of the challenges that we are facing and also the opportunities that we have in developing our education system, and also in collaboration. May I just add one point?
Mm-hmm.
That we are not just here to study the education system of the United Kingdom, but we are also very much interested in promoting collaboration with international level institutions, which we believe will be of great assistance in developing the quality of our institutions and the capacity of our faculty. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.